Section 3, Oklahoma's Natural Resources. As you read, look for Oklahoma's Natural Resources, how Oklahoma's natural resources contribute to the economy, and vocabulary terms, natural resources, irrigation, drought, fossil fuels, wildcatter, aquifer, and tributary. Natural resources are those things found in nature that are useful to humans. Oklahoma has a wide variety of natural resources, in addition to a resourceful and imaginative population. Fertile soils, mixed vegetation, forest, minerals, and water all contribute to the productive economy of the state. Soils. Soil is one of our most important natural resources. Humans have always relied on soil to survive. Our food and some of our clothing and shelter come from plants that grow in the soil. Soil is composed of organic matter, loose rock material, water, and air. The fertility and appearance of the land in various parts of the state are partly caused by 2,500 different soils. The soil group that extends over most of Oklahoma is called mollisols. Port silt loam soil was named as one of Oklahoma's state symbols in 1987. This dark brown to dark reddish brown soil is good for growing alfalfa, grains, cotton, and other sown crops, as well as for range, pasture, and woodland. Generally, soil is sand, silt, or clay. Different crops do better in different soils. Peanuts, for instance, grow well in sandy soils but require irrigation because the soil drains easily. Irrigation, supplying water to land by artificial means, is expensive, but it sustains a crop during dry spells. Our red clay soil usually requires fertilizer before it is suitable for a crop. During the 1920s, farmers were able to grow more crops because of new technology, but extreme droughts, long periods without rainfall, in the 1930s, and farming methods of the era caused the topsoil from the fields to blow away. This resulted in what is known as the Dust Bowl. The Dust Bowl severely affected the panhandle of Oklahoma, along with parts of Texas, Kansas, Colorado, and New Mexico. Other states were damaged by the dust storms. In response, the federal government created the Soil Conservation Service in 1935 to conserve natural resources on agricultural lands. McIntosh County was the first to take advantage of the service. Vegetation. Oklahoma's location places it between two vegetation zones, the humid eastern woodlands and the drier western grasslands. The Ouachita Mountains and the Ozark Plateau in the east contain a variety of hard and soft woods valuable for their beauty, recreation opportunities, and commercial use. The central part of the state is a mix of grasslands and woodlands of oak, mulberry, pecan, willow, sycamore, sumac, and dense undergrowth known as the savanna and woodlands area. In 1832, the well-known author Washington Irving referred to the cross timbers of central Oklahoma as forest of cast iron. The area was a dense thicket, 5 to 30 miles wide in places, of post oak and blackjack oak trees, plus underbrush of grapevines and scrub oak bushes. This proved to be a detriment to exploration and early settlement. Grasslands of bluestem, buffalo, and grama grass are found in the western part of the state. In some places, early settlers in Oklahoma rode through grasses that were as tall as the wagon bed. Paths had to be cleared so the children could walk to school. Climate changes and, to a lesser degree, humans constantly caused a tug of war between grasslands and woodlands. In spite of the impression of Oklahoma as a state of flat prairies and wheat fields, 20% of the land, or about 10 million acres, is forested. Located at the crossroads of the United States, Oklahoma has a variety of forest. There are approximately 140 tree species native to the state. Majestic cypress and pine give way to oak and hickory in the east. Blackjack and post oak are primarily found in the central cross timbers. Mesquite is in the southwest, and pinyon pine and juniper trees are in the northwest corner of the panhandle. There are 6 million acres of commercial forest. The most valuable timber, commercially, comes from the oak and pine forest of southeastern Oklahoma. These trees are milled into fiberboard, plywood, and paper. Because the bottomland hardwoods were in great demand for construction in the early days of settlement, those forests were the first to be cut. The land was then often cleared for agriculture. By 1956, the U.S. Forest Service estimated that only 15% of these original hardwoods remained. These forests are slowly returning thanks to planting new trees, better management, and wildfire containment. Over the last 70 years, a forest of red cedar trees has been emerging in western Oklahoma. Because of fewer wildfires, the cedars have spread quickly over many pasture lands, resulting in less grass for livestock. The cedars have spread over some 3 to 4 million acres. New sawmills have opened to take advantage of the wood, producing landscaping mulch, litter box chips, lumber, and insect repellent. Oklahoma forests and trees provide much more than lumber. They are a habitat for hundreds of animals, birds, and insects. The redbud, our state tree, and the dogwood are the first flowering signs of spring. The woodlands provide a natural filtering system for good quality drinking water and for the air we breathe. Wooded areas offer people recreation places and provide shade and windbreaks. Mineral resources. Fossil fuels, fuels formed in the ground from the remains of dead plants and animals, have been a large part of our state's storied past, as well as its present and future. Fossil fuels include oil, natural gas, and coal. Oil and natural gas. The petroleum industry has been through numerous boom and bust cycles since before statehood. Indians first spotted oil seeping from the ground, or as slicks, on streams. Petroleum was first produced in the territory in 1882, but the first major oil discovery was not made until 1897 at the Nellie Johnstone No. 1 well near Bartlesville. Word traveled quickly, and wildcatters, oil industry risk takers, soon streamed into the territory. In 1901, the Red Fork Field near Tulsa was the first that was financially significant, followed by several others in the area, including the Glen Pool in 1905. Tulsa soon came to be known as the oil capital of the world. By statehood, Oklahoma was producing 40 million barrels of oil a year. Fields in Carter County and near Okmulgee began producing in 1907. They were soon followed by fields in Hewitt, Garber, and Helton. By 1920, production was up to more than a billion barrels a year. In 1928, the oil boom moved to Oklahoma City, and in 1930, oil and natural gas came gushing out of a well that came to be called Wild Mary Sudik. Every county in the state has seen some form of petroleum production. Oklahoma ranks in the top 6 states in the nation in oil production, producing 204,000 barrels a day in 2011. Natural gas, the cleanest burning fossil fuel, gained importance the last half of the 20th century. Oklahoma ranks in the top 4 in the nation in natural gas production. Coal. Early Indians dug the first coal by hand and sold it by the basket. Commercial coal mining began in Oklahoma in 1873. Oklahoma's coal deposits are all in the eastern part of the state, including the Arkoma Basin. Today, most of the mining is done in surface operations near Hartshorn and McAllister. Nearly 1.4 million tons of coal were mined in 2010. The Pioneer Coal Miner Memorial in McAllister pays tribute to the thousands who worked the mines and those who lost their lives. Non-fuel minerals. No metals have been mined in Oklahoma in recent years, although at one time zinc, lead, manganese, and iron ore were mined here. Tripoli, a mineral deposit used for grinding and polishing, is mined in Ottawa County. Sand and gravel are found throughout the state and used for building construction and roadways. Oklahoma granite, sometimes called gray gold, is found mainly in the Arbuckle and Wichita Mountains. Most of our state capital was built of granite quarried near Tishomingo and black granite from Cold Springs. Limestone is mined in more than 30 counties. When crushed, it is used in making cement and as a fertilizer. Clay found in the state is used for making bricks to build homes and buildings and for making pottery. Glass is produced from silica sands from south central Oklahoma. Oklahoma is third in the country in helium production, a byproduct of natural gas wells. The first gypsum mill in Oklahoma Territory, the Ruby Stucco Mill, was located in Blaine County. The county is still considered to have the purest gypsum deposits in the nation. There is a major plant at Southard. Gypsum is also mined at several other locations in Oklahoma, which is the top producer of the mineral in the country. Gypsum is used to make drywall and plaster for construction, cement, chalk, dental molds, surgical cast, paint filler, toothpaste, soil additives, tofu, and plaster of Paris. Oklahoma is the only state that produces iodine. Iodine is produced from oil field brine, water-containing salt, in northwestern Oklahoma. It is used in pharmaceuticals, disinfectants, animal feed, photography, and cloud seeding. Salt. The state's salt resources have been used for centuries. Several counties in northwestern Oklahoma contain salt plains, and the eastern part of the state has numerous salt springs. Early day salt works separated the salt from the spring water by boiling it to evaporate the water. Salt on the plains simply needed to be loaded in a container. As early as 1815, salt was a commodity in the territory, involving many people and businesses over the years. During the Civil War, salt became scarce, and the supplies in the territory became very valuable. Production remained strong through the first half of the 20th century. Groundwater. One of the most valuable resources to human life, groundwater, lies beneath the surface of Oklahoma. Underground basins of porous gravel, rock, and sand hold water that seeps down from rainfall, lakes, and ponds. These basins are called aquifers. Nearly half of the fresh water used in Oklahoma comes from aquifers. The Ogallala Aquifer runs from Texas into the edge of South Dakota and portions of five other states. It stretches across the Panhandle and part of northwestern Oklahoma and is perhaps the most important aquifer in the state. Millions of gallons of this water are used to irrigate fields. But groundwater from the aquifer is being used for irrigation and development faster than it can be replenished by rainfall, causing a major ecological problem for the future. Other aquifers such as the Rush Springs, the Garber-Wellington, the Antlers, and the Vamoosa-Ada are among the 23 major groundwater basins that also supply water to 40% of Oklahoma cities and farms. Waterways. Visitors to Oklahoma are often surprised by the number of rivers and lakes we have. More than 500 rivers and streams, or 78,578 miles, 34 major reservoirs, and hundreds of lakes and ponds supply approximately 60% of the water we consume. Much of this is for agricultural irrigation, but surface water is also used for municipal water supplies, mining, and recreation. As interest in water from Oklahoma grows, discussion of water rights and who owns them also increases. Most of the lakes in Oklahoma have been man-made since the 1930s by damming rivers to provide water for city, industrial, and agricultural growth and for flood control. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the U.S. Bureau of Reclamation, and the Grand River Dam Authority have largely been responsible for building the lakes. Oklahoma has more man-made lakes than any other state in the nation. It has about 11,611 miles of shoreline, slightly less than the estimated combined coastline of the Atlantic, Gulf, Pacific, and Arctic coast, 12,383 miles. Our two largest lakes are Eufaula and Texoma. Eufaula has 105,000 surface acres, while Texoma covers 88,000 acres in surface area. Most of Oklahoma's 35 state parks are built around lakes. Rivers and streams in Oklahoma vary greatly in their appearance and flow. River depth and flow are created from precipitation and groundwater. Western streams tend to be wide and sandy with high gypsum and salt concentrations. Streams in the east receive more rainfall and generally are deeper with rocky banks and a more rapid flow. The Continental Divide that runs along the top of the Rocky Mountains divides the flow of water between the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans. Because of the slope of the Oklahoma terrain and its location east of the Rockies, rivers in Oklahoma usually flow from northwest to southeast. Two major rivers, the Arkansas and the Red, have large drainage systems in Oklahoma. The Arkansas River, with 328 miles in Oklahoma, begins in the Rocky Mountains and gathers tributaries, streams and rivers that flow into larger rivers, during its four-state journey to the Mississippi River. Eventually, the Arkansas River carries two-thirds of the state's runoff water. Rivers in Oklahoma that feed into the Arkansas are the Salt Fork, Cimarron, Verdigris, Grand, Illinois, and Canadian. The area known as Three Forks, where the Verdigris, Grand, and Arkansas join near present-day Muskogee, was an early settlement area. The second major drainage system is the Red River, which also forms the southern boundary of the state. At 592 miles, the Red is the second longest river in the state. Beginning in the New Mexico High Plains, it travels across the Texas Panhandle. In Oklahoma, it receives water from the North Fork, Washita, Boggy, Blue, and Kiamichi Rivers. At various times, the Red River has been an area of conflict between the United States and Spain, France, Mexico, Texas, the Confederate States during the Civil War, and in more modern times, between Oklahoma and Texas. It's your turn. Number one. Why is soil so important? Number two, what are the three fossil fuels? Number three, name Oklahoma's two major river drainage systems.